It's our pleasure this morning to share with you the synod from report from a week ago. And Jill was going to be with us and Sebastian, but for a variety of reasons, Carol and I are it. And it was an exciting synod, and we were happy to represent you. And the synod was full of very good information, both from a programming sense, the life of the church and what we are about, and also from a sense of the financial stability of the diocese and its sustainability and the sustainability of parishes. So it was a very comprehensive meeting. There were approximately 300. You have the real number there. 239. Okay, I thought it was bigger than that. Felt bigger. But anyway, 239 people present from all parts of the diocese. And it was a great day. For me, I guess it was about my 52nd synod that I've gone to over the years. Yeah, for my sins. But it was really quite enjoyable, and I've always enjoyed synod. Carol, how was your experience with it?
I think it was excellent. I think, actually, there were 239 on Friday, but there were several youth delegates that came on Saturday, which I didn't get a count of. But Sebastian came with Dave and then rode home with me. And I think it was a really interesting experience for him from what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we started on Friday, and let's talk about Friday morning.
We were welcomed, of course, by Melissa, and she talked about the kingdom of heaven like a mustard seed. When you plant this little seed, it grows into great bushes all over the place. There were a lot of accomplishments since the last synod 2 years ago, and now it's... that biannual, every
yes.
Second year. We talked about diversity within our diocese, engaging in dialogue, and a phrase that she used, which was repeated almost by everybody in their reports, was hold fast to what is good. I thought that was rather nice. We need time to learn what we are doing, and we need to create sanctuaries of hope within our parishes.
So we then heard from Martin Brokenleg a video, and it was about the learning relationship and the sense that the spirit world and our world is connected, which is a consistent theme of Paul in the Gospels, which we've often forgotten, but a sense that we are, the Spirit is not remote from us, the Spirit indwells in each of us. As we know, on this day we celebrate Pentecost, but we also had this idea that for First Nations this is an ever-present reality, and we as settler people have often forgotten that. And it was a call for us to reintegrate the sense of the Spirit alive within us, and that we are carriers of the Spirit of God, and we must live our lives in that sense of connecting with God, connecting with the universe, connecting with each other in a Spirit-filled way. That we must have patience and respect and curiosity, and it's okay to question. And we thought that that was a pretty powerful speaking. The morning unfolded after the usual resolutions and so on, and messages to Synod. Then we adopted an agenda. We had the minutes from last year, or 2 years ago now, and then we went through all the written reports. There was about 150 pages of reports, but we blocked them all together because they'd all been circulated. So we approved them all. And then we went into program work, and we had three parts of this concept that Carol mentioned, hold fast to what is good. And the first two parts were dedicated to our rejoining with First Nations people as a part of our own truth and reconciliation work. And the first part was looking at how First Nations people, their model of education. And there's this poster that I put up here, which is going to go up on the inside wall of the church, of the hall later. But these are the principal ways of First Nations people education, the principles of First Nations people's education. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see how holistic it is, because it's always connecting with the spirit, always connecting with the land, and always connecting with each other. We are not living this world by ourselves, but we live in community. And that is so true. And so it's a work at rediscovering this for all of us in the diocese. And a part of our own reconciliation is to begin the process of adopting this holistic approach to who we are as Anglican Christians living in the Lower Mainland. What did you get from that, Carol?
Well, I just thought at the end here I started what Dr. Brokenleg said, learning ultimately supports the well-being of the self, the family, the community, and the ancestors. It's all-encompassing, and the more we learn, the more together we can be.
Yeah. Then we had lunch. First, we had noonday prayers, and then we had some work doing, looking at climate change through the Care and Share report and the introduction of new projects for the coming year. Again, about environmental responsibility, being stewards, and called by God's Holy Spirit to be aware and sensitive and active in caring for the earth. And then we went on to the second part of holding fast to what is good. Again, more about First Nations education. And we have a fair amount of material on that, which we will share as time goes by.
Yeah, I think, again, I think there's a group called Salal to Cedar, and I think that's specifically West Coast. We'll talk a little bit about Fred Hiltz, who came on Saturday, but this whole thing is open to all who have faith and all who have no faith, bringing us all together in understanding there's eco-justice, indigenous justice, streams of justice, and making God first in all of these thoughts.
Yeah, very powerful. We then went to business, and we started talking about, and we started going into resolutions. There's a new apportionment system being introduced, which is took a while to present and debated through resolutions. It took 2 hours, at least. Essentially, it means that every parish in the diocese, the apportionment will go down. There's a new formula. And that apportionment will work to retain more money at the local level so that parishes can do more ministry at the local level with the offerings. And the money will still be going forward to the synod, but at a lower rate. But the exceptions is, if you have a lot of rentals, that rental income will be considered for apportionment at a higher rate than the offerings. It doesn't affect us, but one parish was really impacted because they own a building, a skyscraper full of rentals, and they were not too happy about the new change. But and that was made known in discussion. But the diocese held firm and said, you know, this is what we want. So, and they also passed around the narrative budget for the coming year. And I have it at, for coffee today. And I think, Carol, do you have your copy? So we'll share it around if you want to see it. But it gives you a sense of the budget at a glance. And how money comes into the diocese and how it goes out. But the money coming in primarily comes from parishes, and the money going out is in parish support and outreach to the world around us. So that's the majority. There's some money used, of course, in administration, but essentially the budget was approved, and we move forward.
I guess the only thing I've got to note here is that the whole idea of changing how the budget is worked out is that it's to create a sustainable source of grants and loans to parishes and for parish growth. So we haven't been in the business of getting loans for quite some time, but it is there for people, for parishes that need it in a very sustainable way.
Yes. So then we moved to the next day. There was some socializing on the Friday night. Then Saturday morning we reconvened at 8 o'clock for the usual balloting for various positions. And I got nominated and re-elected being a member of the Board of Discipline. I've sat there for 4 years and never been called yet. And I hope it remains that way.
So you volunteer for things you don't have to do.
Well, it's there as a backstop, and we hope that we don't have to use it, but it's there. So we had the balloting closed, and then we had morning worship, and we had Fred Hiltz, our primate, as our central preacher, if you like, for the day. And it was quite interesting. We were both surprised.
I honestly think that his message could have been the focus of the entire synod. It was so powerful. And the poster that we have here, he said that he had never seen it until Melissa showed it to him a day or so before. And his talk to us was based on that poster and the principles of Indigenous learning. He's very strong into storytelling, how all of us have stories to tell, to share where we're coming from, looking at how that affects the next generation. Anglican Healing Fund is part of that. That's coming from, I think, the Indigenous work that we're doing. I know I've got recently something on Facebook about one of the members of Parliament speaking to the Parliament for the very first time in Mohawk. He took a course for a year to learn Mohawk, and I couldn't critique it because I don't have a word of Mohawk, but it sounded pretty impressive, and he got a standing ovation from the House, which I thought was really interesting. So he's taking this, somebody in our Parliament, I think from Quebec, he was from Quebec, taking it to a fairly lengthy degree. Again, the theology of learning, and the phrase that Fred used was, hold fast to what is good.
And after the synod sermon and synod service, it wasn't the Eucharist, but morning prayer, we moved into the next part of our programming, Hold Fast to What is Good, Parts 3 and 4, and it was all about anti-racism training. And people were given table exercises to do, and it was pretty impressive how people all of a sudden recognized within themselves that it's so easy to slip into cultural racism, to be judging based on language, based on custom and tradition. And it was an eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people at the table. What did you think?
Well, we had a flower on a blank piece of paper with a flower with petals, and there were identifying things about, are you male? Are you white? Are you educated? Are you fairly rich? Are you... all the things that would give you power. And if none of those things are yours, are you of another race in Canada? At our table, Sebastian was the only one who was not in a powerful position. And it was really interesting to highlight, to see that picture of where we're at. Women have much less power than men in all situations. You know, all of those things are things that we have to be aware of, and that is in racism and working with other people too.
It was really interesting for Sebastian. As things unfolded, he felt more and more a part of things. And he said, they're speaking to me. They're speaking to my agenda. I'm feeling included. I'm feeling recognized. Now, those of you who don't know Sebastian, he is a Latino Canadian. He was born in El Salvador and escaped with his mother when the Civil War broke out, and just had to run over land to get away from pursuit and being abused. And now he's a Canadian citizen. But the sense in the synod of making space for him and his needs and understanding his experience was very moving for him as a young person. He's 17. And so it was quite interesting to be sitting beside him as he was saying, oh, wow, this is me. This is my journey. Yeah. And being a sense that the church was recognizing that and including him in this journey. I thought it was quite moving.
Really interesting. And I've just made a little bit of a comment here. When we were looking at that flower and how we are all individuals, but coming together, we're all a bouquet. We're flowers in God's garden.
That's right. It's a beautiful analogy, a beautiful image. All the colors of the earth in humans were the bouquet in God's garden.
And there's quite a variety, not out here, but in Vancouver, of various cultures and races in the church. And I guess we'll get onto that further, but people spoke from the anti-racism trainers group. I think there were about six that spoke individually, having come to Canada from other countries. One of the most powerful was a young black woman from Africa, and she'd been threatened and her life was in jeopardy in some situations and so on, and how, Canada, Vancouver, you can breathe. You know, it was really amazing.
Yeah. And then we moved on to noonday prayers and a lunch. The food was interesting. They became more sensitive to the needs of people who have gluten intolerances on the second day. And all the youth delegates had lunch with the bishop. And then we had the report of the returning officer. We had the budget presented. And then we had a youth presentation for an international youth conference. It was quite pictorial, and young people were very much involved. And then we sort of came into the afternoon, and we had the remainder of the resolutions. What was your impression?
I'm not into resolutions. There's a lot of us that were fairly bored. You said you loved it. Anyway, my impression was that it was most of them were already passed and easy to go ahead with, and there weren't any really groundbreaking things happening. They were. Well, we've got the reports too to share with you, but to go into them, I don't think I would do. One thing I want to just add here was a statement from that black lady that spoke. She said it's an African proverb: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's where she left us.
Yeah. And that's a good note to end our Synod report, because we are working at going together. We're part of a large family across the diocese. And we have individual differences, but there's always more that unites us than separates us. And I was very excited to be there on your behalf. And thank you for your prayer support for both Carol and I, as well as Jill and Sebastian. And we look forward to the next Synod. It's now going to be every other year. And then in the intervening year, like next year in 2018, there will be an educational program conference, which anybody from the parishes can attend. And so I don't know the exact date, but there will be something in the spring of next year. And any one of us from here can attend and be a part of that larger family, which is quite wonderful.
It'd be a good training for the next Synod delegate.
That's right. So thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
And my thanks also to Jill and to Sebastian for being with us. Now today is Pentecost Sunday, as we've mentioned earlier, and when we come to it, just to give you a heads up, when we come to the time of saying the Lord's Prayer in the consecration part of our service of the elements, the bread and the wine, I invite you, if you have other languages, to pray in your language of your birth, if you remember it, or if you want to say the Lord's Prayer in a traditional way as opposed to the way it's written in our service sheet. So it may sound like a babble, but just remember always that God is always listening to the babble of all of us together as we journey with God. God bless us all. Amen. Amen.